Okay, we're back up.
Well, so where I am with it all, with the redemption thing, is that it does seem like I have to do something in order to redeem something. You know, those thoughts are very good. But now I need to translate that very specifically into me. Like, what do I do to create the activity of redemption? What's the specific inner work that I do in order to do that? Like, some people say, well, you give up guilt. Okay, I give up guilt. Done. Sometimes not quite that easy. But what does it specifically mean to give up guilt if that's a particular method that you're going to work with in terms of redemption? So for me, this has become a very active question. So I know it has something to do with something, a way of focusing my attention on something in order to find the path of redemption. So that's where I'm at. Maybe in a week or two I'll have another report on it.
Well, I think it's very relevant and important in terms of the chapter work, because what you're talking about is creating a centrum of gravity around the question, what do I need to do internally in order to redeem myself or something in this instance? And that's a centrum of gravity question, and that kind of question can be burning or can keep one awake, because when something's very important to us, for instance, if we do things that hurt or offend the people that we love the most, different kinds of things like that, we can have guilt or remorse, but it doesn't mean anything unless we find a way inside ourselves, hold that as a burning question, and find a way to leverage that feeling to create the discomfort in ourselves and get our own attention instead of having a pat answer, and see, like I was saying earlier, if there's another way to live into it.
So, for instance, when I'm sitting here talking about poor Rudy Tavares, and I hold that in front of me, what goes on in me at that moment? Something. And it's that there's a certain burning of the shame that occurs, the shame that that's exactly who I was, that's exactly what I did.
And that rests on your self-observation.
How could it be else otherwise, precisely?
Sama said, to free from captivity by payment of ransom resonates deeply in how we work for the work. Can't explain how, just resonates.
Well,
can I, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, jump in.
No, I was just, I'm a little bit confused. Aren't we falling into the trap of the ego, let's say, that we are trying to find the answers and define it? Because I think the exercise is supposed not to find the answer.
It's not about the answer. It's about the experience. And it's about something shifting internally.
And the process.
I get it.
Yeah, the process. This is a process.
All right.
Can you read that Sama's quote again, please?
To free from captivity by payment of ransom resonates deeply in how we work for the work. Can't explain how, just resonates.
Good. Yeah, because that feels right for me, because I feel like I've been held captive. And so I'm trying to get the money together to pay the ransom. So I'm trying to locate the checkbook, but it turns out they don't take checks.
So that's the internal process. You're struggling with it, and you're going, oh, I've got to do something here.
Maybe they take charge cards, though.
But there's a lot of interest.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So it seems like we might be ready to move into our next chapter on sensing. If anyone has any other questions or comments on centrum of gravity, we can entertain those. Otherwise, we'll move forward into the next question, into the next chapter.
I have one thing just to add.
Jump in.
Just short. So talking about everything about redemption and the question, would it be a good question to ask what part of myself I have lost? Would be a valid question.
Can you repeat that again, Guillermo?
What parts of myself I have lost?
Yeah. So you're saying, what parts of myself have I lost?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking about redemption, I don't know what it is. Something must be lost in my life or in my...
Yeah. Okay. So that's the same...
That's intense.
That's the same hurdle I came up against. I realized, gosh, I must have lost something that I need to redeem. But you know what? It feels like that's true. It feels I have lost something. And it also feels I'm on the road to redeeming it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, where are we?
Thank you.
I was just going into that thinking that I had that feeling myself very recently, and then I wasn't sure whether the thought was mine or someone else's. Also, Forepaugh said, repeating a mantra so many times that it changes something within for the essence forever.
For the what?
I think she means essence forever. There's a few missing.
Essence. Do I dare say a little word about the Eastern Orthodox, the Jesus prayer?
You're pretty gutsy. You may as well jump in.
Okay, just real quickly, based on what Forepaugh is saying to us in a mantra, the Eastern Orthodox Church is in many ways more mystical or in its practices than the Catholic Church was. And so this one issue was, the question came up, there's a phrase in the Bible, pray always. How could you possibly pray always, the guy says? Because you have to go eat, you got to go to bed at night, sleep, talk, and maybe you have to go to court, you have to do all these things. So how could you be praying while you're doing
all
that?
That's the centrum of gravity question.
This guy had a centrum of gravity question. So he goes walking around Russia looking for a guru to tell him the answer to it. And what he did is he said there's this thing called the Jesus Prayer. And the most palatable form of it is, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And the idea is that you keep saying that over and over again, like a mantra that Forepaugh is saying, and you visualize it gradually entering into your heart, and it goes through your heart, and it actually starts arising out of your heart rather than out of your head. So you start saying it with your mouth and your brain, and it arises out of your heart, and it comes from a different place.
That's very beautiful. Can't you just use one of those mechanical prayer wheels?
I suppose.
Forepaugh said, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me.
There you go.
Yeah, that was the practice of the mystics in the Philokalia. It was mentioned that too.
Exactly right.
Can you please repeat that in just a minute? I wasn't aware that someone left their cell phone in my vicinity. Okay, please repeat your question.
No, that I was mentioning that prayer is established in the Philokalia, the book of the mystics, the Catholic mystics.
Just too quickly, David. Guillermo was telling us that prayer was in the Philokalia, which is out of the writings of the Desert Fathers of the Eastern Orthodox Church. There's a whole series of writings that are quite beautiful.
Nice.
And there's also a very simple book, if you want to read it, called The Way of the Pilgrim and the Pilgrim Continues His Way. It's also quite beautiful.
Forpa said the one that I used was Mantra, O Mani Padme Hum.
Yeah, powerful.
Okay, ready to move into sensing?
I am.
All
yep.
right. Well, the header of sensing, chapter 12, begins, through sensing, we can follow the momentary concentration of forces in our organisms where inner tensions of forces occur, when they shift, and at what tempo.
This is one of my favorite chapters, primarily because I think it's maybe the shortest chapter. Chapter 12, Sensing. That was tongue-in-cheek, because it's also maybe one of the hardest chapters. Sensing, I think I'm just going to read the whole darn thing, okay?
Go, guy.
Sensing is very important to us in our work with the machine, and if we hope to be able to awaken the machine, determining its state by its sensations, we must know the definite difference between sensing and feeling. Huge. Sensing can be understood if we can learn to see the inner tensions of the machine, when they shift, and at what tempo. We are not interested in muscular tensions, but in tensions of the electrical forces proceeding in the machine quite apart from its own organic function. Okay? To follow and be able to use these inner concentrations of force, we are not taught this observation from birth. We must learn a new way of seeing the inner activities of the machine. Tension collects itself in the organism according to the laws of the octave, manifesting in any given place only momentarily. If we know where tension will next appear, we can expect it and focus our attention before it disappears. Tension is much quicker than our ability to perceive it, so we must know beforehand where to look for it. In this effort, an inanimate helper such as a prayer bead or a special rosary can help. Following the formula, 1 and 4, 4 and 2, 2 and 8, 8 and 5, 5 and 7, and back, full circle to the tensions of forces represented as 7 and 1. Representing the tension between any two points in the organism. In the desert, if we know the big ridges always lie across the wind, we can make adjustments to our orientation according to that fact. Only in a very big storm can change the dunes, and one cannot go far during a storm in any of them. It is important for us, if we really must work to awaken the machine, to know this big secret. Once in the desert, we cannot depend on ordinary navigation to tell left from right. When we sense, we do so with a whole attention. So much so that for the moment, nothing exists for us except the sensation upon which the attention is fixated. When we take a sip of water in this way, we do not at the same time allow the attention to wander off in side thoughts of what we had for lunch. In ordinary life, we cannot remember to awaken the machine because at first, when we do not yet know exactly how to awaken it, we try to awaken the machine with mental exertion. We must learn to distinguish between thinking, feeling, and sensing, and then use all three in work. All experiments in the awakening of the machine require a sustained inner sensing of machine tensions. Sensing can also be said to be the method of making contact with the inner world by directing at least part of our attention to inner electrical tensions and at the same time sensing the results of these tensions. Posture evokes mood. Underline that if you get a chance. We can use this special form of organic sensibility, suggestibility, to remember to awaken the machine by keeping the attention on organic tensions. Think of the human biological machine as a pinball machine which has lights and bells which activate when they are struck by our attention. Nice phrase, huh? Represented by the steel ball. Imagine this pinball machine to have only 7 lights, each of a different color and in a different location in the body, each of which also has a corresponding bell, each tuned to a different unique pitch. Now, when the tension shifts from one part of the organism to another, see the bulbs of the 2 points between which the tension has temporarily come to rest as glowing colored lights, and hear the corresponding bell as it rings. Each part activates according to the law of the octave. There you have it. Is Path World online tonight? And Path World, is the other Jenny online?
Sinhog said, "This takes more concentration than I have." Path World says, "I'm here." Yes.
Thank you. So, just over there on page 115. All experiments with awakening of the machine require a sustained inner sensing of machine tensions. Sensing can be said to be the method of making contact with the inner world by directing at least part of our attention to inner electrical tensions and at the same time sensing the results of these tensions. There you go.
David.
Yes, sir.
What would be electrical tensions? I mean, because it states that it's not the muscular tensions, are the electrical tensions.
That's a great question. So the question is, because some people here can't quite hear that, so I'm repeating them sometimes. And that question is, what is electrical tension? What is the sensing of an electrical tension?
I can speak to that.
Good.
A Townsend girl said they're not talking about physical tensions, right? How do you see electricity? Well, electrical tensions are like what you would find in the acupuncture meridians or the chakras or your electrical fields, like when you sense something and you feel it in the room and the hairs on your arms stand up, and when you're doing qigong or tai chi and you can feel energy moving through your body in different ways. If you're, as you begin to develop the internal sense of sensing, you can feel the energy sort of pinging into different organs or organ systems. For instance, you might get physically tense just from digging a ditch or from standing in one position too long or from skiing too long. And these physical tensions aren't really very much of interest, but the organ system and the energy that moves in and around and through the body is much more active. Now, when he's talking about these lights of different colors, I imagine that this is a reference to the chakra system and the energy systems in the body. Whether it is or whether it isn't a direct reference, energy moves through the body, and it can be called, certainly called, electrical. Now, when we're subject to an influence or an input, the energy can be very distinct. For instance, some people in different Qigong workshops will, different issues might be activated, or in terms of this work, if we're triggered or an influence gives us a mechanical reaction to something, there is an organ that lights up in terms, or several organs that light up in terms of the electrical impulses to that organ, or the meridian that becomes active, or another one that becomes inactive. And there is a sequence that these sensations go through in terms of the body as they wash through, almost like when you feel shock and you can feel something wash through you from your head to your toes or your toes to your head. But as you continue more and more explicit self-observation, these experiences can be very pronounced and very poignant. It can almost feel like an organ is heating up, or suddenly becoming painful, or lighting up, so that almost like you can visualize it and you couldn't the minute before. And these tensions, electrical tensions, move through the body in waves and in patterns.
Thank you, Teresa.
Guillermo?
Yes.
Where do you live, by the way?
I live in Toronto.
Toronto.
In Toronto, yes.
Excellent. just in very broad general terms, what kind of work do you do?
I do three kind of different jobs. I teach music, I am a motorcycle instructor, and I work in the federal courts.
Okay, so you work in the federal courts. Are you there when they, were you in the actual courtroom itself?
At times, sometimes, rarely, but I may be there.
Okay. Like, let's say that you're in a place and they bring a defendant in, or maybe it's even a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Do you feel something when they like, pass by?
I figured, yes.
Sometimes you do, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, and so I think if you just, like, put your attention on that and just say, gosh, what does it feel like? What is that sensing? What mood, in a sense, do I sense when I'm in or not in a particular space? Or maybe a particular friend comes over, and it always feels a certain way, or a student of either motorcycle or music, that student feels a certain way to you. Just place your attention on it for the moment. Practice placing your attention on that sensation and see if that maybe is where you might be able to feel that whole area of sense of electrical, the electrical force. Now, have you ever read Human Biological Machine by E.J. Gold?
Yes, a while ago, yes. I wasn't perhaps prepared to read that book when I read it, but yes, I do have it.
Good. In there, you're going to see a discussion that the machine and the essential self are actually electrical bodies, and that there's an interplay between those electrical bodies. And sensing has to do something with that interplay.
Mm-hmm.
Take another look at it. We'll probably do HBM again in a few months, you know, when we're done here with practical work on self, if we ever get through it.
Yeah, I betcha.
So nerve impulses are also electrical. Oh, darn, Ginger Rogers just made a great comment a minute ago, and it just disappeared. Can somebody please read her last comment about the fulcrum?
Go ahead. Read it slowly so I can repeat it. slow down. Your physical tensions give you a fulcrum to work with.
Okay, Townsend Girl copied it for me here. Your physical tensions give you a fulcrum of sensation to work with. Even though they're electrical, they affect muscles, posture, and thus moods and tension. And the first little bit of the next one is cut off for me, too. I apologize. What's the next comment?
Yeah, you pretty much got it.
No, there's another one after that.
Don't worry about it, she said. She's right here.
Okay.
So this is a kind of a centrum of gravity question. So the author is posing to us a different form of perception, in a sense, than we normally use, called sensing. So we have our eyes, we have our tongues, and all those other things that we have. Now we have something called sensing. Yeah, here's one that everybody can relate to. Go ahead. If you're on a muscle relaxant, such as Valium, or one of those, your tensions are artificially drained away, so they're useless. Abeyance, yeah.
Yeah, and so then you're awake, that helps you. Something will come to life.
So what happens when you're in certain, particularly as is being said, psychedelic states, the normal muscle tensions and the normal habits of the machine are held in abeyance. And sensing becomes more powerful at that time, a much more powerful tool. Or whatever. Nobody's recommending anything there. She's just reporting something she read in a book, I think.
Well, the same thing happens in a sense if you drink coffee and make yourself artificially tense. If you become artificially tense, then you can see your reactiveness magnified.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. That's right. So we're trying to discover, and part of what our job then this week is to discover for ourselves, what does sensing mean to you? And we'll have a contest for the best answer, and it'll be in the ad that goes out. What does sensing mean to you?
And David's going to take over that computer function in order to do this, right?
Yeah. It'll be on the banner. What sensing means to me.
Well, I could do that because I had sensing versus feeling as my centrum of gravity question. I spend at least an hour coming up with very clever answers before I ceased and desisted.
Well, you seized up. The whole brain seized up for a moment. Okay, good. So I think, do we have enough to at least stumble forward against this sensing chapter?
I believe so, and I wanted to add Townsend Girl's comment, it's easier to sense when the machine is quieted.
Yeah. It's easier to sense when the machine is quieted. Okay. Let's just expand on that. Thank you for bringing that up. When is the machine quieted in context of the work that we're doing right now? It's called when it is awakened, when it's awake. So when it's awake, sensing is more possible. If you're dead asleep, then you don't know whether you're sensing or not, and you don't care.
And you don't know whether you're tense or not. And then she reminded you about your story about the Zen teacher and the bell.
Yeah, that's... So we're now finished. We're about at chapter 12 here, which means we're halfway through the book. Pretty scary. That means that we have another half to go.
Okay, well, if there aren't any questions at this point, further questions or comments, this is about our time that we usually wrap up. Does anybody have something else that you would like to bring forth before we stop for the evening?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, the second half is bigger than the
first
half. What? Thanks, everybody, for coming, and thanks so much for being part of this. And I look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Yes, thank you very much for all of the wonderful participation. Thank you for joining us, and for the newcomers, oldcomers, all of you. It's a wonderful group, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very great.
Bye.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.